Tonight, I want to continue. We've been talking about the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of the life and the power and the glory of God in heaven to be brought down onto the earth. And the king of the kingdom brought that kingdom, but it wasn't complete because the king had to die on a cross and then be raised and then go to the right hand and remain at the right hand of the Father until the Father said, "Now, son, I want you to come back and complete the building of the kingdom of God." Last time we looked at the idea that we must understand the Word before the power of God is heavenly power of God was released from heaven. We on the earth, now let me paraphrase here or put a little addition. Normally, God uses us, and we have to understand the Word. Now, God is sovereign. Therefore, God can intervene and move at any point, at any time He pleases. He does not have to have men agreeing with Him, but He has chosen to limit Himself normally. Normally. He's chosen to limit Himself to our understanding the Word, because Jesus is the Word become flesh. And so it's understanding Jesus and who He is and what He was sent to do and what He is going to accomplish. So that I always, the Lord reminded me many, many years ago when I started teaching, "Son, whatever I show you, whatever truth I show you truth. My word is truth. It is truth. But you do not have the totality of all truth. No one on the earth has all the totality of God's truth. Even the entire body of Christ together does not have the totality of God's truth. Only the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have the totality of all of God's truth. And what is in the Scripture is only a small part of even Jesus' ministry or the other ministry that occurred on the earth. You would need libraries to record all that He accomplished. But to understand the Word, remember, we said, you have to have a mental understanding. You begin with an intellectual, mental understanding of what the Word says. Then you get a Holy Spirit understanding, where the Holy Spirit makes alive what the intellectual idea is, and the intellectual idea becomes something real. It becomes His life. It becomes His life. So when you understand it in the whole Holy Spirit sense, the Holy Spirit comes within your spirit, within your heart, and makes you realize what the Word says is true and will come to pass. And you know that it will come to pass. When you have the understanding, true understanding, led by the Holy Spirit of God, you know that you know that you know what God has said. Once you get it in your heart and then speak and witness to that, releasing the power, then the power will accomplish what He pleases. Now, one catch here, not in your way and your time, but in God's way and God's time. Because faith, we get hung up more often on the time factor than any other thing. Because God is not limited by time. He is not a part of time. He is not a part of history. I taught history for 47 years. But he's not a part of, he's above history. Yes. He's beyond history. He's beyond all things. Yes. He is the eternal today. The eternal day of the New Jerusalem. There's no beginning, there's no end. There's no past, there's no present. There's no future. It's all the eternal now. It's all. That's why we get hung up on faith, because faith is always based, and the Word of God and the armor of God we're going to look at is based on eternal concepts. Eternal concepts made real by the power of the Holy Spirit, where there is real life coming from heaven that produces what God has ordained it to produce, because what He has ordained it to produce, the Father has sworn to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. He's covenanted, and that covenant cannot be broken. And nothing, nothing can stop it. I like Ron's illustration of the gnat on a B-47. could, Satan would have no more power to limit what God has accomplished and will accomplish than an ant on a big 47. Now, when we come to understand the word, all right, we know it in our spirit. We know what God has accomplished. We know what he will do. We may not know the way and the time he's going to do it, but we know what he's going to do. Now, spiritual warfare really begins. Because Satan does not oppose us much until we understand the word. But once we understand the word, we now come into a warfare that never ceases. Satan never, listen, Satan never stops his opposition to Jesus, his opposition to the Word, his opposition to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, his opposition to the kingdom, his determination to bring destruction and death. He is behind the Antichrist spirit in the world, will be behind the Antichrist when he comes, with the determination of that Antichrist spirit and the Antichrist himself to destroy the Word become flesh, who God has crowned king and high priest, and that covenant promise cannot be broken. And so, in Ephesians 6, here's what, and so the teaching tonight is going to be basically what I do every morning in prayer. I put on the armor of God. Now, I don't know, but I literally put it on. I don't imagine I gird my loins with truth. But I want to give you the insight. The Lord, and I've taught on this before, but I think the Lord has given me a greater insight than I've ever had to tell you what the Lord was telling me in relation to what it means to take the armor of God. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord, and in the Hebrew name here is be strong in Yahweh. Yahweh is the great I Am, and he has no beginning, he has no end. He brings into existence all that exists. There is nothing outside of Yahweh, because in his existence, everything exists. And nothing has existence until he calls it into being. Out of nothing, he calls whatever exists into being. The planets, the stars, everything on the earth, plant life, animal life, human beings, the angels, the cherubim and the seraphim, and all of the angelic beings, and even the ones who became demons and Satan himself were originally created as angels, and they fell. And so there is nothing outside of Yahweh. He exists. He is the only one who brings into existence. Therefore, be strong in him. In fact, if you think you're strong outside of him, you are very deceived. And God will quickly show you how weak you are. And the moment he allows Satan to attack you, you will see how weak you are, unless you are strong in Yahweh, in his life. So taking the armor is taking his life, is taking who Yahweh is into your life. And you need to take it and take it and take it. This is why you need to put it on every, I think, morning. Don't you think it's a good idea to take it on and put it on in the morning? When you get up and you're ready to go out then, and you're ready to face the enemy. And by the way, the armor is put on so that you are facing the enemy. Don't ever turn your back on Satan. Don't ever run. A dog will be much emboldened if you turn and begin to run. Animals know if you are afraid of them. And so God doesn't want us to be fearful. In the strength of his might, he is, in Hebrew, El Gibor, the mighty one. Jesus is called El Gibor, the mighty one, the one who has all power and strength. Verse 11, put it on. Put it on every day. All of this armor, the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Or the King James says the wiles of the devil. These are systematic things that Satan does, affliction, persecution, sending desire for other things, the deceitfulness of riches, a desire for other things, sending all kinds of things against us to allow so that we will not, even after we've understood the word, we will not continue to believe and continue to act and continue to abide, because putting on the armor allows us to continue to remain in the word, in the understanding of what God has shown us, because Satan's not going to give up. He's going to try to wear you out physically, wear you out mentally, wear you out spiritually. I mean, he is going to hound you, but you must know how to resist him. Peter, 1 Peter 5. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, shall himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Resist in faith. Resist. I mean, the moment he sends a headache, the moment he sends pain, the moment he sends a fear, the moment he sends depression, resist firm in your faith. Take the armor so that you will be more able to resist. We wear out. But listen, if you burn out, I've heard people talk about Christians burning out, pastors burning out. Listen, you cannot burn out if you are moving in the Holy Spirit. So if you burn out, it means you're burning out emotionally to your energy of the flesh. It means you've used the energy of the flesh in order to try to accomplish something spiritual. And you have to take the armor of God and move in the Spirit only through faith, only through the Spirit, or you will wear out. And so that you may be able to resist or come stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. By the way, the King James says, we wrestle not. Wrestling is a good illustration. Because wrestling, it is close, hand-to-hand combat. You can't get away from it. If you are out of the will of God, it doesn't bother with you much. But if you understand the Word of God, you're acting on the Word of God. The power of God is being released. People are getting saved. People are getting healed. People are getting delivered. I mean, God is moving. You are producing the fruit. I guarantee you, He will come against you strongly. And the more you move in the Spirit, the more He will come against you. I remember hearing a witch's testimony. 1974, Lexington. Tom Hamilton meeting. Doreen Irvin was there. She had been a witch in Europe. She had been saved. And she said while she was in witchcraft, she could make herself invisible. She could go in the midst of fire and was not burned. I mean, she did all kinds of supernatural things. And she said, we knew when we were witches, before she was saved and delivered, we knew when we came into the presence of a Christian who was baptized in the Spirit, moving in the Spirit, we stayed away. Every other Christian we did not fear. Because they did not know how to come against us, Satan and the demonic powers of the evil world. And so we must understand that we are in a close, unceasing combat. In a wrestling match, until you get a timeout before the bell rings, it's unceasing. And this is the kind of combat that we are in. And then he says, and I mentioned this more detail, but let me just review what I said the last week. Against the rulers, these are the principalities, these are the cosmic level powers, the spirit of Babylon, the spirit of Antichrist, over all of the nations of the world. the cosmic level of powers over all the nations of the world. Satan has a very well-organized scheme to come against everything that God has created. And so he has the cosmic powers, then against the powers or authorities, these are the occult level powers underneath the cosmic level powers, over regions, over cities, over organizations. Satan has demonic powers for every church denomination. He has demonic powers for organizations. He has demonic powers for states and regions, for counties and townships and cities and so forth. Then, yes, for colleges, for any kind of organization, and for seminaries. And world forces of darkness and spiritual forces of wickedness. These are the demon powers that are assigned to particular nations. Like the Prince of Persia was a demonic power that Daniel had to come against after he prayed for 21 days. And God spoke to him, the angel Gabriel spoke to him. But he had to come against this. Then, spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. These are the infantry of Satan. These are the individual demonic powers that particularly attack us as individuals, either through demonization, where a demonic power is allowed to enter a human being. It's a more advanced control of human beings. You don't see this as often as you do the personal level control. That's the lowest level control. Now, at the personal level, every single one of us is in continual warfare, particularly in relation to our mind. Because 2 Corinthians 10 speaks of that mind, and I'll say more about that when I come to the helmet, because the helmet is a part over our mind. So I'll save that, how we come against that. So now I want to break it down, as the scripture breaks it down, and see these seven parts. Some would say six, I would say seven, because I believe praying in the Spirit is a part of the armor. Most people don't look at praying in the Spirit as a part of the armor. I believe it is a part of the armor. Now, so let's look at the first one. Gird your loins with truth. Look at John chapter 8. We're going to look a lot of scripture tonight. John chapter 8, because we need to see the nature of truth. Pilate said, "What is truth? What is truth?" But Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so the key to truth is Jesus. He is the living expression of the truth of God. John 8, verse 31. Jesus therefore was saying to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine." Now, notice it says, you when you understand the word gets into you, right? Then Satan begins to conduct warfare against you. Now, if you are going to gird your loins with truth, you are going to have to learn how to abide in that word. John 15, 7, "If you abide in me," that means lay your life down, take the cross, as Jesus took the cross. That's the key to everything. You must take the cross. I mean, to take the armor and to resist Satan, you must take the cross. You must take the cross. You must die out to your own mind, to your own will, to your own emotions. You must empty yourself. You must make yourself of no reputation. You must understand you can do nothing. He does everything. So if you abide in my word, but abiding in his word is abiding in Jesus, because Jesus is the word become flesh. I want you to notice something tonight. Every single part of the armor goes back to the word. Every single part of the armor goes back to the word. W-O-R-D. And one of Jesus' titles in Revelation is the Word of God. He is the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God, John 1. Therefore, back to verse 31, if you abide in the Word, then you are truly disciples. In other words, you are not disciples just to receive and understand the Word, but if you abide in the Word, if you lay your life down, then if you let the Word abide in you, remain in you, this is a key to all of this in relation to the Word is abiding and remaining, never leaving, never leaving the anointed Holy Spirit's understanding of the Word that's in you. Then you shall know the truth. You see how few people know the truth? Don't even know what the truth is? Or have any ability to know what the truth is? There is no ability to know the truth until you receive the truth, who is Jesus, and receive the Word. I remember when I was saved, the night I walked down that Methodist church aisle. And I knew that the Lord told me all of His Word is true. And He said to me, don't teach anything. I'm going to allow you to teach the Word. Don't teach anything but my Word. Don't teach anything but my Word. And if you will watch my teaching, you will watch this Word and this Word and this Word and this Word from the Word. You shall know the truth. Now listen. And the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. See, error will bring you in bondage and death. Truth will bring you into freedom and life. Hallelujah. Freedom and life. Isn't that what you want? That's what I want. Freedom and life. Jesus said, Paul said, that you were set free for freedom. Not to continue in bondage, but for freedom. And so, when you know Jesus, but you must abide in Jesus, abide in the Word, you must lay your life down, you must take that Word, continue to act on it, then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And then they answered him, they said, we're Abram's offspring. We've never been a slave to anyone. How is it that you say you should become free? These people were saying, we're free. What are you talking about, Jesus? We're not in bondage. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. Amen. We got to get set free of sin. Now, I don't think there's anything in the Holy Spirit's experience that will make us so we can't sin. I think we can. Well, I don't have to sin today. I don't have to sin tomorrow. I don't have to sin the next day. I don't have to sin the next minute or the next 5 minutes or the next 15 or the... Because God wants us to abide, remain. And see, when the Word comes into us, It does purify us, and therefore it does bring us into truth. But you see that we are transformed further as the truth flows out from us and flows into other people, and they receive it, and they believe it, and they understand it, and they abide in it. And then someone else abides in it, and someone else abides in it, and pretty soon we've got a whole body abiding. Because the final body of Christ is going to all abide and reign. And there's going to be a total purity and a total unity that the Holy Spirit will give us. And the slave does not remain in the house forever, but the son remains forever. Any slavery, any bondage, any untruth, any error is temporary. But truth is forever. Freedom is forever. True freedom is forever. Truth is forever. There is absolute truth, and He is Jesus. The Word abiding and remaining. This is what sets you free. It sets other people free. Do you understand? You've got to gird your loins with this. Verse 38, I speak the things which I have seen with my father, therefore you do the things which you hear from your father. I'm not going to read the rest of this, but the rest of it makes clear that their father is Satan. But when your father is God the Father, who is covenanted with the Son and the Holy Spirit, then you have the truth. And you've heard the truth and you've seen the truth. You don't have a spirit of sleep, of slumber, where you can't see, you can't hear. See, if you can't see and hear, you can't understand. And once we understand, we have to continue to see and continue to hear. We have to continue in the Word. I was healed of cancer miraculously 31 years ago. I still praise Him to this day. Don't ever stop praising Him for what He's done. Let that go right on. I've seen people get healed and lose their healing. Whatever, when He touches you permanently, but you've got to remain where His touch is on you permanently, where His Word is in you permanently, flowing through you permanently, forever and ever, in a greater and more powerful, loving stream. John 14. John 14. Verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works shall he do. Now, many Christians who call themselves Christians don't believe this. They don't believe that Jesus told his disciples, and that's you and I too, it isn't just the original 12, that we can do his works and greater. We haven't seen the greater. I think that will come as we are united through the sevenfold Spirit and where the body, because the full power of God is going to be released when the whole body is united and purified. Not just individuals united or empowered and purified, but the whole body. So, now, how is this connected to the truth? Now listen. This, what he just said, you'll do my works and greater works, because the purpose of understanding the Word and abiding in the Word, and abiding in truth that will set you free and other people free, is to release the power of God to come into you and into other people to save them, to heal them, to deliver them, and to keep them healed and delivered, so that they can abide and remain in it. So, now, he says, whatever you ask in my name, now, Jesus' name is not an abracadabra name. Yeshua means Yahweh is salvation. There is a complete, total salvation. Every aspect of salvation, every aspect completely of salvation, saved, healed, delivered, filled with the Spirit, whatever God has promised, is in that salvation. And you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So, we must ask according to His will. We cannot ask our own will. We must ask according to His will. And as we ask according to His will, where do we get His will? His Word. And sometimes God speaks more from the Word to give us a little further understanding of what that Word means that I'm to obey through the Holy Spirit in me. But notice what comes in verse 16 and 17. This is connected to doing the works of God. It is, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you a helper. A parakletos is the Greek word, which is the Holy Spirit called alongside to help us. We need help. Help, Lord. We need help. But we don't have to call Jesus from up here or call Jesus from up here. The Word of God is in us. The Word of God is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart, the Word of faith which we preach. That if you believe in the Lord Jesus, God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Mouth, heart, mouth, power of God is released. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, is the one who gives us this Word to make it alive. And the Holy Spirit, well, listen. verse 17. That is, this Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Ah, if I gird my loins with truth, I must have the Holy Spirit in me, flowing in me, continually in me, because the Holy Spirit is the one who brings that truth of the Father and the Son. So, to be baptized in the Spirit, moving in the Spirit, is essential for you to keep girding your loins with truth. It isn't a one-time act. None of these parts of the armor are a one-time act. You must continually put on, you must continually flow. That's why God says, stir up the gift that's in you through the laying on of hands. Stir up the Holy Spirit of God. You need to stir up the Holy Spirit of God to take the armor every day. You need to stir up the Holy Spirit of God to love. You need to stir up the Holy Spirit of God to follow any of the commandments, because they are permanent eternal commandments. They are not temporary commandments. They are permanent eternal commandments. Whom the world cannot receive. Listen, the world can't receive. The world can't receive. Because they don't know Jesus. He is the truth. He is the Word. They can't even get the Word. They can't understand the Word at all in the first place, let alone abide in it and remain in it. But you know Him because He abides. There it is, see? He abides with you. And He will be in you. John 16:13. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes... Now, I want you to notice three times what it says. Three different times this is repeated. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit must be there essentially moving in your life. Let God stir up the gift of the Holy Spirit every day. Ask for an anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. You need the anointing every day to take the armor. This is not an intellectual exercise, it's a spiritual exercise. It's an eternal spiritual exercise. But when the truth comes, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own initiative, for whatever He hears, He will speak and disclose to you what is to come. That's number one. He will disclose to you what is to come. That's the first time He says this. I'm going to disclose to you what's to come. You won't know. The Holy Spirit knows. I know. The Father knows. The Son knows. The Holy Spirit knows. And the Holy Spirit will disclose. When is the time? When is the right time? He will disclose this to you. He will speak to you directly through the Word, but He will speak to you directly. Do you ever spend a part of your prayer time to just listen for God to speak? You need to spend part of your prayer time. I don't do this every day, but some days I spend some time asking God to speak. Because He will speak to you. Now, listen, next time He says, He shall glorify Me, for He shall take of Mine and shall disclose it to you. There it is again. He's going to disclose what He wants you to know from the Word, from Jesus. 15. All things the Father has are Mine, therefore I said that He takes of Mine and He will disclose it to you. Now, He's told you three times He's going to disclose, and I hear people say, I hear Christians say, God doesn't speak today. Now, I'll guarantee you God is speaking. He's continually speaking. The question is, can we understand? Can we abide and remain in the truth through the power of the Holy Spirit? 2. I may not get through this whole list. I may have to finish it on the 30th. We'll see. 2. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Put on. Now remember, you put these, you practice this tomorrow. Just put on the breastplate, that armor of righteousness. All right, I'm going to define this first with Romans. I asked the Lord in each case, I could give you a definition, but what the Lord gave me scriptural definitions in each case. So these are always the best definitions. What'd you take from the Word of God? Yeah, but by the way, you need a concordance and you need a Greek and Hebrew dictionaries, but you don't need the things that where you have a guide to the Scripture. And this fellow, like Barclay, supposedly he's got a commentary on the Scripture that, well, the trouble with Barclay is he didn't believe in the supernatural. He knew a lot about history and the New Testament days. So the Lord got me away from commentaries a long time ago. Because commentaries are one man's opinion, and I don't care how much scholar, I don't care much how Hebrew and Greek they know. If the Holy Spirit is not in them and on them and flowing through them, the fact that you know the original language doesn't mean that you know what the original language means according to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the only one. I mean, every language is limited. It's human language limits God. Limits God. When you rely on human language alone, you have to have the anointing of the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit to interpret and the Holy Spirit to speak. Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. The good news of Jesus, the Word become flesh, is power. I mean, there's power in the cross. It isn't just power in the resurrection, there's power in the cross. The power in the cross destroyed Satan's power. We don't separate the cross and the resurrection. Some people I've heard say in the Spirit-filled movement, not many, but a few, too much cross religion. No, you can't have too much cross.
No way.
You can't have too much cross.
No way.
I mean, that's how Satan was defeated. Satan was defeated by the power of the cross.
Glory.
And while he was on the cross,
Amen.
He was delivered into hell and defeated hell and all the judgment of hell. I mean, that's power. For salvation, to release full salvation. Now, the resurrection had to occur in order to get that to release of full salvation. To everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, or the Gentile, that means all the other nations. Praise God, that's us. For in it, this gospel, is the righteousness of God. All right, here's the righteousness of God. This salvation, that releases the power of God, the power of God to bring righteousness. Man, I don't know any greater power. Maybe the power to create the world, but the power of God can bring us into righteousness. We who are sinners can be brought into righteousness, into holiness. Is revealed from faith to faith. Ah, faith to faith. You have to begin in faith, but how many Christians begin in faith, know they're born again, and then stop?
Mercy.
How many churches preach salvation, get everyone saved, and preach salvation, and preach salvation, and preach salvation, and preach salvation? Well, there's a whole lot more in salvation. Because that Greek word soteria, the verb form is sozo, used 188 times in the New Testament, means to be spiritually saved, to be healed miraculously, to be delivered from demon power, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, it means everything. And, you know, our salvation is not complete until we see Jesus and become as He is. That hope purifies us even as He is pure. So that righteousness brings us in. We're brought into it from faith, as we continue in faith. Here it is again, abide, remain, in faith. Everything in these, in taking the armor is continuing to abide and to remain. To take these things, continually taking these things. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous man shall live by faith. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4. 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 4. This is Paul speaking, and it relates to